Today we'll be reading from the book of Luke chapter 18 from verses 1 to 8. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about what people think, yet because of this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that he gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cries out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? May God bless the reading of his word and make us not just the reader or the hearer, but the doer of his word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Okay, I'd like to invite our visiting speaker, Anna. John, should we just stand and pray? Do you want to reach out your hand and pray for John? Yeah, Father, we thank you for those words that Philip read. And Lord, we pray now that you will anoint John by the power of your Holy Spirit, that he will speak your words and not his, although he has prepared. And Lord, we just ask that you would give us open hearts, Father God, to receive your word now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to take one of these bells with me.
What it is to be married to a powerful woman, eh? And you'll be hearing a little bit more about that in a few minutes' time, I think. So it's great. I'm continuing my series in the Gospel of Luke this morning, entitled Jesus is for Everyone. Last time we were looking at Be Ready for Jesus' Return, Luke 17, 20 to 37. Got a lot of feedback on that, not making the second coming, not being obsessed by it in that sense. Today, where the title of it is Don't Give Up. Be proactive and persistent until Jesus returns, from this little parable of the persistent widow and the unjust judge. You know, one of the problems with the chapter divisions in the Gospels is that they can break the subject flow that Jesus is talking about. So we can move to a new chapter and we can think, oh, this is a totally different subject. But Luke 18 is very much a continuation of Jesus' teaching in chapter 17 about the second coming, about the day of judgment, about being kingdom people. And verse 8 makes that very, very clear when Jesus asks, when the Son of Man comes, that's when Jesus returns, will he find faith on the earth? So the subject is the same as the end of Luke 17. And Luke tells us why Jesus told this parable of this remarkable, feisty, battling powerhouse of a widow who refused to give up and wouldn't take no for an answer. And he says, the reason I'm telling you this story, this parable, Luke tells us why Jesus told this parable, to show his disciples and us that we should always pray and not give up. Jesus wants his disciples, and therefore he wants us, if we are his disciples, to be like this feisty widow. Jesus doesn't want any of us to be defeated. He doesn't want any of us, any of his disciples, to give up. He doesn't want any of them to think that Jesus is never going to return. He doesn't want any of them to think that justice will never happen. If we are defeated, if we give up, Jesus will not find faith on the earth when he returns. That's the answer to his question. Jesus is not looking today for weak, wimpish, pathetic disciples with no fight and no backbone and no persistence. Jesus is looking for disciples who are ready for battle. Ephesians 6 Christians, if you don't know what that means, dressed with the full armor of God, standing strong in the Lord, being strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He wants us to be standing strong, not to be knocked over the whole time, not to be giving up, not to be weak and wimpish. Christians he's looking for who will stand strong despite all the setbacks and opposition. And let's be real, we all face setbacks, don't we? We all face opposition. We all face challenges in our lives. And Jesus wants us to be Christians who stand strong, whatever the opposition may be, whatever battles we may face, whatever circumstances we may struggle with, whatever health issues we may have, whatever financial worries we may have, whatever it may happen to be, whatever trouble you have in your family or in relationships, Jesus still wants us to stand strong in the Lord, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Standing strong despite all the opposition and setbacks, despite all, as Ephesians 6 talks about, all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Do you know that the evil one likes to fire flaming arrows, trying to destroy all the opposition of the rulers, authorities, the powers of this dark world, and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, Ephesians 6. So Ephesians 6 tells us we will be up against this opposition as Christians and disciples of Jesus. So the first point I want to make is be like this proactive, persistent widow. A widow in Jesus' day was totally vulnerable. They had no husband, no protector, they had no rights, and usually no income. This widow probably had dependent children with little means to support them. It was because of a widow's extreme vulnerability in Israelite society that God made special laws and rules and provisions in the Old Testament to protect and provide for the widow and the fatherless. So you find throughout the Old Testament, God says that it's the responsibility of the community, the Israelite community, to care for those who are vulnerable. Those who are widows, those who are fatherless, the orphan, the stranger, the foreigner in the land. It talks about providing for them. I'm so pleased that this church is continuing that ministry of the Lord through the food bank, feeding thousands of people every week. The Lighthouse, ministering to those who are homeless and needy. The CAP Debt Center that we've been celebrating this morning, helping people out of financial debt. It's a continuation of the ministry of Jesus. But this widow is vulnerable. But she's also struggling against a corrupt judge and a corrupt system in order to get her rights. We don't know what she was fighting for. It was probably to keep her late husband's land, her late husband's property, house, possessions, children. It may even have been to keep her own body from being forcibly taken or abused by a male relative or a neighbor, whoever it might have been. So she had an adversary who was trying to take advantage of her. And she was fighting for what was rightfully hers. She was fighting for justice. She was fighting against injustice, against corruption, and against cruelty. And she was incredibly bold and courageous. She had no male relative to bring her case to court. She was too poor to bribe the corrupt judge. But she still persisted against all the odds, against all the hurdles, all the opposition, all the rejection, and all the setbacks and knockbacks. She was not going to take no for an answer, praise God. She kept coming back to this judge. She wasn't giving up. She persisted on. And there's a wonderful bit here because in the New Testament Greek gives a wonderful insight to this battling, persistent widow. When the judge says, I will see she gets justice so she won't eventually wear me out with her coming, literally in the Greek it says, so that she won't give me a black eye. Isn't that brilliant? So she won't give me a black eye. It's language from the New Testament boxing ring. It really is. This powerful, corrupt, ungodly judge feels as though he's in a boxing ring with this widow. And she's coming at him. And she keeps coming at him. And she won't be put off. And she's persisting on. And she's coming at him. And she's coming at him. And he realizes, you know, if I don't actually give her what she wants, I'm going to end up with a black eye and a bloody nose. Now, this is a feisty woman, isn't it? That's persistence. That's courage. That's a campaigning widow. She's a hero. Amen? She's a hero. She's a trailblazer. She's a mighty woman of God. She knows that truth and justice is on her side, and she will not give up until she gets the justice that is rightfully hers. She is a New Testament hero. And we can miss that. She has no rights, no power, no protection, no money, but her courage and persistence wins through against corrupt power, against oppression and opposition and injustice and ungodliness. I want to say to you, we need more mighty women of God like this woman. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We need more mighty men of God like this woman. You know, praise God if there are a few men who are like this woman. You know, we really do, don't we? You know, I think of mighty women of God. Mighty women of God like Rosa Parks and some of the female civil rights campaigners and Florence Nightingale and Corrie ten Boom, to bring it a bit more recently. But we can also add, I'm sure many of us can add, mighty women of God in the past, in our past that we've known. They may not have been famous. They may not be in the history books, but they campaigned and they were mighty and they persisted through great opposition to be mighty women of God. And you know, you too can be a mighty woman of God. You too can be a mighty man of God. And you know, Jesus is looking for people who are not weak and wimpish Christians, but people who are strong in the Lord and the power of his might and are prepared to persist on with God, to be mighty men and women of God, to make a difference for Jesus, to persist against all the odds to win kingdom battles for Jesus. May have nothing. May have very little in terms of material things, very little in terms of education even, but they battle through and they shine for Jesus Christ. And the challenge is, that could be you. Could you be a mighty woman or man of God to those who are the next generation down or a couple of generations down for you? You know, praise God for mighty women and men of God in our hearts and our lives and our past experience that had such an influence on you. You know, Jesus wants you and me to be more like this mighty, persistent woman. No, rather than the weak and wimpish Christians we sometimes are. You know, when we're tempted to give up our faith because the washing machine breaks down. Oh, you know, the end of the world's taken place. Or we have a bout of flu, you know, particularly if we're men, you know, we always think we're dying at that point. You know, let's get a bit of backbone. We need backbone Christians. Amen? who are strong in the Lord and the power of his might. My second point is stand strong against injustice and corruption. Stand strong against injustice and corruption, and focusing on this corrupt judge. Law courts in Bible times were very different from law courts today. There was no jury, there was no voting, there were no solicitors, there were no advocates. The judge had sole power and authority, and his decision was final. The two adversaries would put their case to the judge, and the judge would decide the outcome. The problem was the system was open to corruption and injustice and every other kind of abuse, but it was not supposed to be that way in the nation of Israel. 2 Chronicles 19:7 tells us that when Jehoshaphat appointed judges in the land, he gave this instruction to the judges: consider carefully what you do, because you are not judging for mere mortals, but for the Lord who is with you whenever you give a verdict. Now let the fear of the Lord be on you. Judge carefully, for with the Lord our God there is no injustice or partiality or bribery. That is the instruction for judges in the Old Testament. But Jesus tells us that this judge in this parable neither feared God nor cared what people thought. The very opposite of what the Bible commanded. He was ungodly. He was unjust. He was callous. He lacked interest or compassion towards this vulnerable woman. He was only interested in himself. You know, the only reason he eventually gives justice to the widow is to protect himself, isn't it? That's the only reason. It wasn't because it was a just cause. It was because he thought he was going to get a black eye. He thought he was going to get beaten up unless he actually gave this woman the justice that she deserved. And so this judge symbolizes everything that is opposite to God, the judge. The Bible tells us that God hates all injustice. He hates unrighteousness. He hates corruption. All of it is sin. And God hates sin. You know, we need to make sure that we as Christian disciples are like the persistent widow, not like the unjust corrupt judge. You know, there's no place in our Christian lives, there's no place in our churches for injustice or corruption or fraud or embezzlement or cruelty or unkindness or a lack of compassion or sexism or racism or all the other isms in that sense, or a lack of generosity. And so the list could go on, couldn't it? The judge here, the corrupt judge, represents all people who oppose God, who oppose biblical Christianity, who oppose truth and Christian ethics and morality and justice and righteousness. You know, all Christians, all of us, will encounter such people until Jesus returns. They're the people who you and I will do battle with in our Christian lives. The people who will make you feel marginalized, make you feel bigoted, make you feel stupid as a Christian. The people who will make you feel like giving up as a Christian. Do you know some people like that? Makes you feel like giving up. People today who are not living Christian lives are like this judge. They neither fear God nor care what people think. Isn't that an accurate description of so many people in society today? No, you just switch on the television news or switch on the television just without the news. And what you see all the time is people who neither fear God nor care what other people think. You know, it's horrible sometimes when the television's on And the whole media has just set up people just to be shouting at each other, basically, and tearing each other down the whole time. You know, it's so, you know, ungodly, isn't it? It's so horrible. It's so malicious in so many ways. And it's the opposite from what we should be. Why do you think there is so much selfishness and greed and crime and injustice and unrighteousness in our world? Because people neither fear God nor care what people think. Why is there so much violence? Why is there so much robbery? Why is there so much knife crime and murder and terrorism and war? Because people neither fear God nor care what people think. Have no care for others. They're selfish, just like this judge. And that is why we need to be different. We need to be distinctive as Christians. Amen? You know, if we're just like everyone else, if our attitudes and our actions are just the same, there's no difference. There's no distinctiveness in our lives. That's why we need to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. That is the all-important thing. It's why we need to be equipped with the whole armor of God. It's why we need to stand against the flaming arrows of the evil one. It's why we need to stand against the powers and the authorities of this dark age. Why we need to be persistent and prayerful like this vulnerable but mighty widow of God. But praise God. He, God, is the complete opposite of the unjust judge. What a model we have to follow. God is the God of justice and righteousness. In God's court, there is no jury. There's no voting. There's no solicitors. It'd be a lot cheaper. God, the judge, is answerable to no one. He is in complete control. He is the sovereign, almighty, Lord God Almighty. He is the perfect judge. He is a complete contrast to this unjust judge of the parable. His judgments, God's judgments, are guaranteed to be just. They're guaranteed to be right. They're guaranteed to be true. They're guaranteed to be merciful. They're guaranteed to be compassionate. Because God cannot deny himself. He is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. Praise God. He is the God of mercy. The judge who will judge us is also the God of mercy. He is the great I am. He can be totally trusted to always get his judgments right. Praise God. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful when we really think that that is our judge? God Almighty, the sovereign God that we've been worshipping, is the one who will judge us. Judge us in righteousness. Judge us in truth. That's why we need to confess our sins to him. But know that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus says in verses 7 and 8, "And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly." You know, that is an incredibly wonderful promise from Jesus. But we need to look at the detail of this promise. God will bring about justice for his chosen ones. What does that mean? In the old-fashioned word, it's the elect. It's his children. God promises that he will bring about justice for his chosen ones, for the elect, for his children. This promise is only for true disciples, true children of God. What a wonderful promise this is for persecuted Christians across the world today, who are suffering for their faith, who are being tortured for their faith, who right today are in prison because they worship Jesus. Christians who are facing deprivation. Christians who are facing great danger. Christians who are facing death across the world today for their faith in Jesus. Jesus promises that God will bring about justice for his chosen ones. Justice. Are you suffering injustice as a Christian? Jesus promises that God will bring about justice for you. If something unjust has happened to you in the past, it might have been in your childhood, you may have been abused as a child, whatever it may happen to be, God promises that he will bring about justice. Isn't that wonderful? You don't have to seek vengeance, because God is the one who will avenge. He is the God of justice. And as we approach the return of Christ, as antichrists raise their ugly heads, isn't it wonderful to know that God's promise is he will bring about justice for his chosen ones, for his children? So be persistent in prayer and full of faith. Justice is promised to his chosen ones who call out to him day and night. This is the proactive, persistent widow. She wouldn't give up. Jesus says to us, don't give up on prayer. Persist in prayer. Call out to the Lord day and night. Keep persisting in prayer until you see the breakthrough. How many of us give up after a while? We don't see any difference. We don't see any change, do we, in the situation? We think, well, not really worth praying about. Given up on something. Jesus says, keep persisting. Persist in prayer. Keep going. You may have to wait like the widow did. You see, the widow had to wait, didn't she? She didn't get her answer. She had to persist. She had to keep on going back to that judge, despite all the negative things, all the setbacks, all the rejections. And maybe you've faced lots of rejections in your life. Keep persisting. Keep pressing on. Keep pressing through. You may not see any change. You may not see any breakthrough for a while. God doesn't ever promise to answer things in our timing. It's really frustrating, isn't it? Now, let's be honest. You know, we think we know when God should answer our prayers. And it's usually now, right now, or preferably yesterday. We don't really want it to be delayed too long because we want it now. Now, Lord, we need it now. Don't you know that we need it now? But you see, that's our timing. God's timing is perfect, isn't it? And some of us have proved that. Sometimes the answer is no, because he knows that what we were asking for isn't actually the best for us. I often say it, but Billy Graham was always very thankful that God didn't answer his prayers. Oh, the Holy Spirit is blowing through the room. Billy Graham was thankful that God didn't always answer his prayers, because he said if he had answered his prayers, he would have got married to about three wrong women before he actually got married to his wife. You see, we can think we know what's best for us, but God's timing is perfect. His will is perfect. So we may have to wait like the widow did. But Jesus calls us not to give up, but to keep persisting in prayer. And Jesus says a wonderful thing, God will not keep on putting us off. Isn't that wonderful? He's not like this unjust judge. We can be assured of total and perfect justice from God in his perfect timing. Jesus says, I tell you, God will see that you get justice and quickly. When he says quickly, I wish the Bible didn't say a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like one day. But that's God's perspective on timing. You know, there are many similarities in this little parable with what Jesus teaches in Luke 11, 9 to 13, where Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock, and the door, etc., will be open to you. And of course, we know that isn't just a simple once ask, once seek, once knock. In the Greek, it's keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Keep on, persist in asking, seeking, and knocking, and the door will be open to you. If we ask him for bread, Jesus says in those verses, he will not give us a stone. If we ask for a fish, he will not give us a snake, because he is our loving heavenly Father, and he delights to give what? He delights to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. You know, if you're asking for anything else, ask him for the Holy Spirit, because we know he delights to give us the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Eagerly, it's as the deer pants for the water. Eagerly desire the gift or the presence and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We need so much. And you know, when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, it begins to put the other things that are our desires and our prayers into order. He gives us God's perspective on our issues. Will you be persistent like this widow? Will you persist in prayer? That's a challenge. It's a challenge to us. Do you know, in most churches, certainly in the UK, the least well-attended meeting in the church is the prayer meeting. What does that tell us? I hate to say it, but that statistic is also true for this church. The least well-attended meeting of this church is the prayer meetings. But Jesus tells us to persist in prayer. Prayer is worth it, folks. Prayer makes a difference. We're talking, we're asking to Jesus, not holy prayers, not read out prayers, not prayers spoken to, you know, impress other people with our theology or our Bible knowledge or whatever else it might happen to be. It is crying out to God and day and night. And that's just using simple language, isn't it? You know, I love to hear new Christians pray. I love to be... They think they're useless at it. I think they're far better prayers than I am. They don't use any of the, you know, spiritual language, the, you know... They don't quote Bible verses because they don't know them yet. They just talk to God as if they were talking to their friend. They just talk to God... No, because he's their newest friend, their best new friend, who's done so much for them. He's saved and rescued them from the dominion of darkness and brought them into the kingdom of light. And they're excited about it. And they get excited in prayer. And we say, ooh, quiet, calm down, calm down. No, we're British here. But, you know, God calls us to get excited in prayer because of who he is and what he's done. And then to ask and to seek and just to bring before him our petitions. It's so important, isn't it? Will you be persistent like this woman? Will you persist in prayer? Will you keep on asking and seeking and knocking? Will you be full of faith in the God of justice and righteousness? You know, he promises justice for his chosen ones, his children who cry out to him day and night. Those are the questions Jesus is asking his disciples in verse 8. Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes, when I return, when Jesus returns, will he find faith on the earth? That's a question that Jesus us as disciples. If you are alive when Jesus returns, which some of us may be, we all may be, because he might come this afternoon. If you are alive when Jesus returns, will he find you full of faith in the God of justice, who will judge the world in truth and justice and righteousness? Will he find you persisting in prayer, calling out to God day and night, knowing that he can answer your prayers? Will he find you persisting like this feisty widow, persisting in the battle against all the forces of sin and evil in our world today, standing your ground, equipped with the whole armor of God? Or when Jesus returns, will he find you doubting, demoralized, defeated, knocked over by sin, by opposition, by discouragement? Will Jesus find that you have given in and given up? That's so tragic, isn't it? I meet people from time to time who used to walk with Jesus, who used to be on fire for Jesus, but somewhere along the way, they've given in. They've given in to temptation. They've given in to doubt. They've given in to despair. They've faced circumstances in their lives. They've given in, and then they've given up. Jesus says, will I find faith on the earth when I return? Jesus says, be like this proactive, persistent widow. That's what I want to be like. I want to burn out. I don't want to rust out. I sometimes say to people, you know, when people ask about the church and all we do here, I say, well, at least we're not going to die of boredom. You know, because God is at work mightily. Be like this proactive, persistent widow. Call out to God for justice, this righteousness, truth, day and night, because he has promised his justice to you, because he will bring the breakthrough. So be mighty women and men of God in 2024. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together, shall we? And let's just ask the Holy Spirit to come and to equip us. Let's do that. Father God, Lord, I just want to thank and praise you for the example of this persistent widow. Lord, who did not take no for an answer, who did not give up. Lord, who kept on going, who had nothing other than her courage and her persistence. And Lord, we thank and we praise you that, Lord, she was given justice. Lord, would you come and fill us with your Spirit? Lord, we just confess to you that without your Spirit, we cannot live the Christian life. We cannot shine as a Christian. Lord, we quickly become defeated. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Fill us up and send us out in the power of the Spirit. Lord, fill us up. Lord, enable us to be equipped with that whole armor of God, that we may stand, and having done everything, still be standing. Lord, having faced every opposition, every obstacle, every problem and rejection and discouragement, yet, Lord, still stand strong in who we are in Jesus Christ. Lord, may we have that helmet of salvation protecting our minds. Lord, may the arrows and temptations of the evil one not be able to penetrate our minds. Lord, we pray that we'd have that belt of truth holding everything together. Lord, we pray, Lord, for that shield of faith. Lord, we pray for every part of that armor, that, Lord, you would equip us with that armor, that we may stand to be mighty women and men of God. Lord, I thank you and praise you that, Lord, when you came to Gideon, defeated Gideon, threshing wheat in the winepress, you said that he was a mighty man of God. Lord, that gives each one of us hope, Lord. Lord, in the place of discouragements and defeats, Lord, I thank you that God does not see us as we are, but sees us as what we can be. And so, Lord, we pray that, Lord, your Holy Spirit, Lord, would equip us and enable us and strengthen us, Lord, to make those choices and decisions to be, Lord, your people and to stand strong for you, Lord. So, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would come and fill us and refresh us and renew us and revive us, Lord, we pray. Set us on fire for Jesus, that we may burn for Jesus Christ even this week, Lord, we pray. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. 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 Be blessed. Let's have the worship team, Chyla and the team, back up. And let's be mighty women and men of God as we go into this coming week.